right now covering the entire county of San Luis Obispo. We've been working pretty closely with Morro Bay for the last 6 to 8 months, and it looks like Los Osos may soon have their own channel, like Morro Bay does, that would be broadcast to Falcon customers over here. This would be funded by the county of San Luis Obispo, and it depends on whether you guys are interested or not. So we thought we would preview a little bit of kind of what it's all about for you tonight. We brought our equipment. Feel free to talk to us afterwards, meet any of the principal players. Our director is Steve Matthew in the back with the headset. He's actually the one that's made the whole thing possible in Morro Bay. Nancy Castle on one of the cameras over there. She's also a player. She does everything that we need her to do, from secretarial stuff to operating the camera. Scott on the other camera is a volunteer also with Estero Community Access. He's actually from Cayucos, but he's helping us out tonight. I think Paula Perlman, who's one of your local Los Osos sites.
Los
Oceans. Los Oceans, okay. Wants to share a little bit of information with you too.
And I'm Paulette, past president of the chamber, and I really want to encourage you to think about and find out more about the public access television. First off, it would be a great way for the whole community to understand the sewer. That's one of the important things. Meredith and I have just finished writing a $500,000 grant that's possible from the federal government. And we could, if we really let them know that we want it, we could have it by summertime of this year. So, and the community center here would probably be the insertion point that they would use. So I encourage you all to look at it and contact or talk to Steve and Meredith tonight.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Probability or potentiality, whichever, available to Los Osos right now, because the county would like to see this community, because of its size, if it's interested, go online as one of the first county incorporated areas to have its own insertion point. So I would assume that you're the body that would coordinate and work with the community to get these workshops together and to have discussions, and we would gladly be available at any point in time to help facilitate that. So, thank you.
Okay, the main agenda item for tonight is a panel discussion and public participation as well on the issue of the economic future of Los Osos. As all of you know, that's something that we've hit on many times in our own discussions, is that many of the ideas that we have had about how to make Los Osos a better place ultimately hinge upon a better economic conditions in Los Osos if they're ever to come about. And it seemed kind of like a useful time here right before we're about to get the draft of the update in the next couple of months to hear from a variety of business people and of the community leaders as to how they see the economic future of Los Osos and what suggestions they might have. So the panelists that we have tonight, starting from here next to me, are Rosemary Bowker, who is chairman of the county, Economic Advisory Committee, and Lynn Korenbaum, who is also a member of that, and Lynn runs a business here in Los Osos. Lisa Smith is next to her, who's a Los Osos businesswoman and a former member of this council and a member of the Los Osos community organization, and then Boyd Lowe, who is the current president of the Chamber of Commerce. So I think between the four of them, we've got a variety of different views initially, if they have any, and then we'll open it to the council and the public to just have a general discussion and question after that. So I think we'll just kind of go down the row here and let Rose start first. I would ask y'all to use the mics so the cameras can get a good recording of you.
Thank you, Randy. Randy said in 10 minutes, give your ideas about the economic future of Los Osos. And I've been on the Economic Advisory Committee for 2 years now. And it's not a simple issue whether we're dealing with the incorporated or the unincorporated areas in the county. And Randy, I'm going to go backwards in your list of questions because you had asked, is there county, state, or federal assistance in the way of grants, programs, or whatever that we can tap into for help, or are we out on our own? And I think it would be a mistake to go out on our own without looking to a lot of sources of information, and information that deals with small communities. We tend to think that the experts are all out there in the big cities. To start with, the county is a member of the California Association for Local Economic Development, which is a nonprofit organization that provides technical assistance to communities that are trying to develop their own local economy. And their idea is that they provide assistance, what you do to the development. And there are people associated with CalEd who act as advisors, who live in other communities and come in and provide information. And in fact, right now, some members of the Economic Advisory Committee are at CalEd's annual conference in Monterey. Locally, we've just formed the Economic Vitality Corporation, which is really a side shoot from the Economic Advisory Committee. The Economic Advisory Committee, as an advocacy group that advises the Board of Supervisors, is not in a position to receive monies that are earmarked for nonprofit organizations. The Economic Vitality Corporation, which has board membership of the mayors of the cities and Ruth Brackett as chair of the Board of Supervisors and members of the business community, is out there to generate monies to assist local economic development. One thing that Lynn Korenbaum and I both agree on is we'd really like to see a representative for each of the larger unincorporated areas. Los Osos has a bigger population than Morro Bay. We're also dealing with Napomo and Templeton. I feel we need a spokesperson for our interests, and I hope that we can work to see someone on the EDC board that represents us. Cuesta College has a small business assistance center, and we also have associated with the private industry council, actually they use office space, they're independent, is SCORE, which is the senior core of retired executives. And they can provide assistance to people who need to put together a business plan, who need to really evaluate whether or not they're in a good position to start a business. If we look towards the banking industry, banks are involved in what's called community development corporations. And these provide low-interest loans to help communities reinvest in their community and to meet some of the unmet needs and provide financing for things to get up and get started. And then on the federal level, there are all kinds of programs and sources of information. Some of them that I got the LOCAP as food for thought. But we really don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are a lot of materials out there, such as an economic development program checklist. Before we go out and try to attract businesses, what do we have to do to get our community ready? And a little survey that we can look at to determine whether we have those resources in place that a business is going to need when it tries to come to town. There's even the county in 1994 completed a very extensive survey by a consultant. It was a business retention, attraction, and expansion study. And in that, it identifies the assets and liabilities of the county, which includes us, things that encourage businesses to come here, one of which is it's a very nice place to live, and some of the liabilities, the fact that our permitting and regulatory environment could be streamlined. And I say that without meaning that we're going to eliminate any safeguards, but simply mean fewer trips into county planning to get your permit. And I'm not talking about discretionary permits, I'm simply talking about building, mechanical, electrical, the types of things that you ought to be able to go through a little more smoothly. And both Lynn and I on the Economic Advisory Committee are involved in a permit streamlining subcommittee. So as an overview or an introduction to the issue, there's a lot of help out there, and in some ways, while the sewer has hindered our ability to expand, at the same time, it's given LOCAC an opportunity to look at where we are and to kind of create an assessment of what our needs would be if, in order to be able to grow once the sewer moratorium is lifted. Before I pass it on to the rest of the panel members, as I was driving around this week and thinking about what am I going to say to the community, I was thinking about pictures I saw of San Luis Obispo taken in the 1950s, where you look down Monterey and there isn't a tree in sight, and the storefronts were really ugly. I think what we want to do is create a community that people that drive through Montana de Oro say, hey, what a cool place, let's stop. Let's put some trees and median strips, let's create some sidewalks around our business community so people will get out of their cars, stop, walk, and let's have stores and retail stores that are available for people to go into. Now, I know it doesn't exist. I know we have problems right now because of the sewer not being up and going, but maybe if we create a vision, it'll happen. Lynn? Hi. Hard act to follow. Came up with a lot of information there. I'd like to talk about a company that I saw when I was very young up in Seattle, Washington. This was a company that was in a neighborhood environment. It was called Battelle Institute. Some of you may recognize the name. It was a research and development facility. Driving through it was virtually like driving through a park. It was very livable. You would never know that there was quote-unquote industry there, clean industry. I remember that, and in thinking of my husband's and my business and where we would like to go with our plans for building an expansion, we as people, does it mean more retail? Does it mean more home business? Does it mean a business park? Does it mean that we would rather have us stay as a quote-unquote bedroom community? Or does it mean that instead of bed and breakfast, we're thinking of bread and butter? I think that in our retail establishments, our thrust is in the wrong place. Half of our community, and I'm not sure of the percentage, but half of our community leaves the area, goes into San Luis and works, and then returns in the evening. Virtually at 6 o'clock, this town closes down. There's very little activity, very little businesses open. And so our retail community is struggling to survive on those people, the incomes that are remaining in the community. Well, when the theater comes to town, and you notice I said when the theater comes to town, I think that we will see an abrupt change in much of this. With the theater exercising later hours, I think more businesses will be encouraged to remain open longer.
And I think our community will thrive by this one business taking a chance on our community. Encouraging companies that pay head of household wages. I think also we need to think about more activity in the area of self-determination in order for us to even offer the kinds of bennies and perks that are required for cities to attract businesses with higher wages. Where would they locate? I think probably plans in place have already suggested numerous places in our community where these kinds of businesses could locate. I think that we need to remember also that economic problems and opportunities, somebody else's opportunity is somebody else's problem. So once again, I would like to suggest that in forming a group to study the economic ideas of this community, Boyd Lowe of the Chamber of Commerce has suggested that a group be formed called the Bayosis Economic Advisory Committee. I am currently the chair of that. Anyone that is interested in contributing to this activity, I would welcome their activity. We are an advisory committee, and we don't conflict with LOCAC, but rather we complement them.
My name is Lisa Smith, and I own a toy store with kids here in Los Osos. We'll have our 10th anniversary this fall, and I have a degree in city planning, which doesn't help me at all, except that I kind of mix up with. I want to mention that what Lynn said about people leaving the community is true. You know, most of us work elsewhere, and unfortunately, those people tend to shop where they work. So I think the building moratorium has really, you know, put a damper on things. But this has always been a hard town to, you know, have a retail business. And it's because people work someplace else. Until we have a job base here in this community and people stay here during the day, I think we continue to, you know, have our limitations as far as our retail and also a lot of volunteer activities that don't happen here because there just aren't that many people in the community during the day. I think the planning aspects of our economic future are really the most important, you know, questions. You know, providing some kind of job activity in Los Osos is going to be the difference between us continuing to be a bedroom community with a small retail commercial area and, you know, the possibility of becoming more of a self-sustaining, you know, economically viable community. And I think without those land use issues being addressed, our future looks pretty much the way it is now.
Does that reach for you?
Yes, it does. I'm sorry, I don't like sitting there and talking, so I'll stand up. I think one of the most important things that we need to be doing is to look outside ourselves. Because I know that as long as we are looking inward, we'll find lots of problems. But I have dreams of the future rather than being disgruntled with the past. I've only been here for 7 years. And I wasn't interested in what was going on in our city, our little town, for the first year. I didn't really become involved with the Chamber of Commerce until about 3 years ago. We often say that we cannot have light industry without destroying the community. There's a lot of light industry that we can have in a town that will not destroy the community. We have examples of that in our own town of the Central Coast Coffee Company. We've had software companies that have had to move out of this town because they couldn't find sufficient space and they've gone elsewhere. So we really need one of the most important things, and I'm going to say it because just know that I am focusing in on local businesses. And so you may not like what I say because you may be coming from a different place. But because I've lived in towns of 1500 where we had markets, and because I have seen them thrive with two markets in a town of 15,000, it's difficult for me to believe that we cannot attract a second market in a town of 15,000. Are people who are head of house who live in these bedrooms, not people who are going elsewhere. And I ask this question usually wherever I go, and that is, how many of you are dependent upon businesses for your livelihood? How many of you are dependent upon a business for your livelihood? Paulette, I know you would raise your hand. How many of you are in private business, right, as opposed to working for the government? Let's see your hands. And I know you are. Okay. So several of you are. But many of you are not. And again, I see that as a problem. Because we need people in this town who are interested in seeing the progress of this town. We need people in this town that want to see us have businesses here that will attract the heads of homes to work here and to live here. If you go to our post office and ask them where they live, they don't live there. They live elsewhere. They come into our town. And that's all right. I would like to see a lot of people coming into our town. But what we need, my goal this year, is that we will, as a Chamber of Commerce and as a community, support the local businesses that are here. And men and women, I can tell you that at the present time, we are not even doing that. We are not even doing that. We are not supporting our hometown businesses. We also need to be attracting new businesses. And we need a sewer in our business district. I'm not going to argue with you about a sewer in the residential area. That's not my business. That's not what I care about today. I care about the fact that we cannot grow private enterprise in this town, as long as we do not have a sewer system to serve businesses. We cannot even, as much as they go out of their way to provide a sewer system within their own location, we cannot even allow bonds to enlarge. That's where it's at. One of the things that we need to be doing is stimulating our tourism. And we can stimulate our tourism, but if we don't have a place for them to stay here when they get here, they're going to go elsewhere to spend their money. We need to be working on a system that will allow us to have more motel space. And I had an idea where it ought to go. And then Rose Balker said, no, it ought to go down across the street from the Chamber of Commerce. And you know what? I don't care where it goes. I just want it to come here. And I'd like to see, we have the, up there on Marna, we have a group who have come in to build buildings, to build homes. You look at Aurora Grande and we have people who are trying to build a place for markets there. And I know there's controversy over Walmart and I don't have any position on that. But those are the kinds of business parks or commercial areas that we need to be attracting into our location. And I want us to be working on it today, this year, for 2002. I know it's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen this year. But our planning, our thinking, our dreaming, our pursuit has to start now. And I would just invite all of you to join with us in pursuing light businesses, light industry, rather, heavy business. We want lots of people coming to our stores. But light industry, software, electronic, building motherboards for computers, and things like that, that's not going to harm our area. Because it is a beautiful area. I want to live here. I want to live here in the quietness and the beauty that we have here. But I want more people to enjoy what I enjoy every day as I look out upon this beautiful area. Thank you very much.
Being a lot more long-winded than you were, but I'm sure we have more to talk about. Before we open it to questions from the audience and the council, let me just see if any of you have a question that you'd like to ask of any other of the panelists. Anyone?
We are probably pursuing the same dream.
Very likely, though. One of the issues is always even if we all have the same dream, we may have different ideas as to how we're going to get there. The nuts and bolts of these issues can be pretty difficult. Yes, Ms. Rose?
Actually, I have a question for LOCAC. What is your vision in terms of, you've been working on the plan for this community. What do you see in terms of the area that is not yet developed in setting aside or recommending certain designations so that businesses, we could start from that as a starting point and say, this is where we think we ought to have a set aside for commercial development, light industry, that sort of thing, so we can generate jobs.
We have certainly talked many times about the possibility of the area right out here across from the community center that's owned by Moore Shores, the company is perhaps being a small business park. Also, if you use the piece straight across the street over here, this belongs to Tri-W Williams Brothers. If you combine that, there's what, 40 acres altogether or something like that, that potentially is usable as a business park if we were to zone it that hell thing. Otherwise, you just kind of scattered bits and pieces around the back of a commercial center and things like that, which is not nearly as desirable. But we've been done, and until we actually see the draft plan, we've not taken a formal position yet that definitely should be, but it's something we've talked about.
Here we talked about the benefits of not having those cars going up and down the Sosa Valley Road to work, but staying home.
Oh, definitely, and that was very much part of the traffic and circulation plan discussion for CSA 9 as well. If you're going to ultimately stop the county from four-laning Sosa Valley Road all the way into Foothill, you've got to keep the traffic from growing as the population grows, and that means keeping people working here and not driving. Oh, by the way, I was just checking, and you talked about the number of people that worked elsewhere. As part of the preparation for the area plan, the planning department made this available a couple of years ago. You've probably seen this on population, economy, and fiscal impacts. I just quickly looked up, and they say that the workers in Los Osos, 80% leave Los Osos to work elsewhere.
One of the things that hasn't been done in this area is that the home businesses, the impact of home businesses has not really been studied in this area as far as you know, what their contribution is, either to the sales tax or to the environment as a whole. That's one of the things that this Bayosis Economic Advisory Committee would be studying. Also, I don't know that we have a comprehensive list of every single business that's here in our area. simply so that if it's distributed, those in the community will know, for example, that there is a jewelry store here, and there is a, you know, I don't know, other little businesses that are over here and over there. The impact of the theater coming to our area is something that I think should concern all of us, because with the impact of more individuals coming into the city, the impact of the longer hours, the evening hours, how will this impact our community? What is it we're going to do to take care of this? Do we need to have you know, additional areas for people to relax after the theater is through? How are we going to manage the crowd, the traffic? I don't see that it is a negative thing. I think that it's a positive thing, but it nevertheless needs to be studied.
I agree with Lynn that this needs to be looked at. However, if we are going to be open more, if more businesses are going to be open in the evening, it'll create even more of a parking problem than the people already complaining that that's one of the things that the county is looking at now, is the number of parking spots in that shopping center if the theater comes in. So if you start having more businesses open in that area, I'm not sure if they would appreciate that or not as far as parking is concerned after the hours. But it's a good idea, but I'm not
open because there was not enough draw. But if all of the retail merchants agreed that there was going to be one evening a week, I wonder as an experiment, what do you think?
Well, I think that it would be tough to get everyone to agree to do that. That's the first obstacle. It certainly is worth a try, and I'd be the first one to try it if everyone else were willing to. And if we had something, you know, a great draw like San Luis has with the farmers market, that would be the key to everything. But, you know, unfortunately, most of us in Los Osos are family-operated businesses, and, you know, we work all day, 6 days a week, and we're ready to go home at dinner time, too. So unless we've got a real incentive and some real traffic, some people out there, it really isn't worthwhile, to me personally, to be open in the evening.
Is there a merchants organization in that immediate area where all of you join together and talk?
Of course, they've got one of the best attractions in the city in your store, but also in that bakery. That bakery attracts a lot of people about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they close at 6. If they would stay open until midnight some evening, why, you'd probably have a lot of traffic.
Put a coffee house in.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the problem of being an owner-run business, but I still think it would be an interesting experiment if we could say Thursdays you went from 12 to 9 instead of from 9 to 5, something of that order.
Right, the exact same thought. If you could just get car locks to stay open in the evening, but that might really help everybody. Okay, well, at this point, let's just open it up to questions and discussion, statements of general principle, or whatever you want to make. I don't think I'm going to try to necessarily pass the microphone to everybody. They do have pickup mics on some of these cameras, right? So if you at least speak loudly, I think that'll probably be adequate for them. But if you're within reach of the microphone, we'll certainly pass it to you. So who has the first question or comment? Gus?
Oh, I just had one sort of historical perspective. You're talking about nighttime businesses staying open with something like Farmers Market. Before Farmers Market in San Luis, there was Linnea Phillips, who had dancing in the square and kind of a community activity once a night. And that was on Thursdays, and that kind of spurred the idea that folks are around, let's open a shop or two and give them some coffee after they're done doing whatever they're doing. So there are other opportunities other than, say, attracting a farmer's market. It could be a community event or a celebration of some kind. Ducky races, yes, Roman ducky races.
I think what they were thinking, though, about, like choosing a Thursday night is consistency. Some people would always right. know that it was that they were going to be open on Thursday night.
Well, here, let me toss out something. I'm sure this will stir people's blood one way or the other. And I have to preface this with a sort of an anecdote. I would personally love to do most of my shopping in Los Osos. I do have sufficiently flexible hours that I'm often here during daytime hours and try to shop here when I can. But about a year ago, I woke up one morning to discover a major leaky kitchen faucet. Said, okay, got to fix the faucet. Headed over here to one of our local hardware stores, and I won't mention which one. Priced a faucet. I'm going, that does seem kind of expensive. It was $120. I thought, well, it's not leaking that bad. I've got to go into San Luis later for doing some other things anyway. I'll look around there. Lo and behold, the faucet that was priced at $120 here, I forget all the details, it's been a year or so now, it was priced at about $75-$80 at one of the hardware stores in San Luis. You use when the nearest store is 200 miles away, and you shouldn't do it then. It's not necessarily moral, but people do it. I guess that's capitalism. But the market won't bear that here. And people know that. And when they know that the prices here are significantly higher than the prices just a few miles away, they're obviously going to shop a few miles away. It seems to me, and of course that's not the only instance. You can see other instances easily enough if you look around, gasoline prices and many other things as well. There has recently in the last year or two been more competition in gasoline that has driven the prices down here somewhat compared to what they used to be, which were maybe 10 or 12 cents more than in San Luis. If retail is going to survive here, it seems to me that it's going to have to compete for business by being price competitive and attract people to come here and make it worth their while to come here as opposed to shopping when they're in San Luis or elsewhere. But I don't see much of that happening. So I'm just kind of curious for those of you that have retail experience, retail stores and so on, how you see it, whether you agree, disagree with me, and also for those of you that are shoppers and consumers, how many of you shop elsewhere because you think it costs too much? Out here. Is that one of the basis of what leads you to shop other places than in our local stores? Let me just throw that out for discussion.
I think your example is a good one to reflect on. Probably, let me throw this out, the reason that you're obviously you're shopping and it's worth your while to pick the item up some other place, but that place that you're going to is the point of destination. And one of the problems that we've touched on tonight is that Los Osos is the point of destination for a lot of these businesses. And until it is, okay, we're not going to be able to attract outside money. And because of volume and other necessities of businesses being viable, you're forced to shop out of the area in a lot of cases. There's two things that we have to keep in mind. One is that we have to attract people to the area, and that's point of destination. And the second thing is we need to have resources. Now, there's two ways we can do that. We can either bring in resources from the outside. In a lot of cases, that's human resources, or that can be trucks bringing in raw materials to be converted and so forth, which creates traffic and a lot of other problems that we may not want to deal with. But I think we missed the obvious thing is that Morro Bay has done extremely well using the resource of the waterfront, which has always been there, and that's the reason that people originally settled there, as a draw for people, and it's a point of destination. So they come out very well with that. We have resources here in Los Osos that we don't utilize. There's daytime activities, there's kayaking, there's if we could get the artistic community together to show their wares on certain days or whatever, we could attract a great number of people with the talent that we have in Baywood alone. There's galleries, there's all kinds of things that would fit together. People, when they shop, want to go to a mall type of atmosphere because then they have a whole bunch of choices. So what do we have here? We've got the environment, and we have environmentalists. We've got to find a room there.
I've had
same experience that you have with crisis and homelessness, and I hate it every time one of those stories is related because it somehow seems to apply to every retailer in town. When you hear one faucet story or one, you know, water pump story, I've heard that one before too. The difficulty that small business people are having all over the country is volume. You know, the majors, the reason you can buy in an Orchard or a Home Base for half the price that we can buy is because True Value or wherever it was pays more to get it at wholesale than Home Base will sell it. And that's the reality of the market. That's the reality of the fact that large businesses in this country won't sell direct to small retailers. Small retailers are forced for those types of items to go to a wholesaler that pulls product in from a lot of different manufacturers. They put their middleman markup on it, then the retailer can buy it, and they put a markup on it so that you can buy it. And, you know, with a small amount of volume coming out of a small town hardware store, the only way they can stay in business is to put those kind of prices on things. Now, fortunately for me, in my business, I don't have to compete with any other retailers. You know, I make choices only to buy products that you can't buy in the discount houses. The hardware store can't do that. So it's a tough business to be in a small town, and I think it's remarkable that we still have two hardware stores. You know, the chances of them remaining in business for many more years, I think, is very slim because of the setup, you know, the economic setup of retail in the entire country, not just. Just so you know, that's why.
There are other kinds of examples, too. That I was looking just for a package of screws for doing some woodwork that I was doing. And I happened to be at the Home Base. And I checked on the prices here. And they were actually cheaper at the USAVE store if you bought them in the out of their bulk bin than they were to buy them at the Home Base.
And that's true of items I carry. The very few items I carry that the majors carry, mine are cheaper than theirs.
It happens a lot.
I think we're forgetting to focus on our success stories. I have a friend that left a message for me on my machine before I came over here saying, I ordered a birthday cake for Doug at Carlock's. Can you pick it up on your way in on Tuesday morning? There are people that come out to Carlock's for their pastries and bakeries. We have other friends that make a point of going to Sylvester's when they're out at Montana de Oro. We do have businesses out here that are attracting people, and what I think we need to do is stop trying to encourage those that can't compete, but create our own little niche. And things that people who are going to Montana de Oro are going to stop back here for, whether it's going to be coffee and pastry down at Coffee and Things, or whether they're going to please to be able to stop and pick up slow roast coffee. Instead of trying to compete with the big box stores, let's do what Cambry has done and create a retail trade that is independent of, and you talked about our artists.
Is it the supply of businesses in the town? Is it the areas that are properly zoned for the kind of businesses that I kept hearing that I would want to attract? Is it that, or is it just the demand of our people and the convenience of shopping here that creates the need for it? And a lot of people, and we've had a lot of people come before LOCAC here, and have simply said that why not follow the demand? If the demand is not here, then don't bring the businesses here. If the demand is for this to be a bedroom community, and the jobs are really where they are, and they're in Morro Bay direction and San Luis direction, why try to interfere with that? If this is wants to be a bedroom community, why don't we let it be a bedroom community? So I pose that to the town.
My only objection to that is the people that would like to move towards some kind of independence, and we're constantly told we're on the tax base to do that. So if we want to be in charge of our own destiny, we can't stay a bedroom community.
Well, are you referring to cityhood?
Well, the first step would be CSD.
That question has been asked oftentimes. Why do we care? I'm 74 years old. Why do I care? Because I care about this town. And I don't think this town can survive without a good commercial base, a good business base. Sure, we can continue being a bedroom community, but is that what our people really want? I don't think so. I think we'd like to see a thriving business community here. This is a friendly town. It has not been friendly to businesses. I would like to see that turned around so that we're as friendly toward businesses and encouragement of business as we are. So I care, because my focus, as I told you in the beginning, is business, business, business.
Tom?
I'm glad, Boyd, that you addressed the problem of the market here in grocery marketing here in Los Osos. I think we have a problem, which I think you've addressed, of and our faucet story addresses the problem that our necessities are not available at a competitive price in this town. And when Twin Bridges was closed, Albertsons had to cut back their workforce. That tells me that we don't want to shop for necessities here, so we'll go elsewhere. Conversely, it seems to me very logical then that we should be creating the kind of things that you suggested, and that Les was pointing out, a point of destination kind of thing that people will want to come here for other things other than shopping for necessities. There's no way I would suggest that Randy buy a faucet at 100% markup versus the home base. We can't afford that. That's just an economic reality, unless you're in a real emergency. So we can understand that we may have to leave this community for some necessity type of items. I like the idea. I just naturally end up shopping sometimes for things that I could get in Los Osos someplace else because I'm at a point of destination. The car is parked up in San Luis or in Santa Maria, and I may drop my green dollars someplace else than here, and that's a bad thing. And I'd rather be able to shop here.
Yeah, and I've asked Lynn, as our chair of the, I didn't know how bad that would look when I put DO in front of the Economic Advisory Committee, but we tried Los Osos, and then we'd leave DO. They would park out some. So it is the DO. And I've asked her to pursue a new market so that we would have a possibility of it by the end of the year. Now, Paulette said she preceded me as president, and she did. And Annie Mueller is coming right after me. And I think all three of us are in favor of storefront markets, storefront stores selling materials that the people in this location need. I am also interested in the light manufacturing, okay? And my real push is for storefront businesses, and I know that Annie is in home business and Lynn is in home business, so I leave that to them. My push is for storefront businesses and light manufacturing. That's my goal.
I just along the lines of what you were saying, and most of it, the places that are most enjoyable to visit, to shop, are places that are just enjoyable to visit. And we have the environment here, but we don't have what you would call the architectural spaces that are really enjoyable and really complement the environment. Right now, are basically more or less a strip mall that we have on South of Boulevard. And like you were saying, it's a place you drive by unless you have to go and get something, which you wouldn't be attracted. If we look at the places that are most successful in this area, we see the downtown shopping center, what's it called? Right downtown San Luis.
Downtown
center. That place is created for people. It it's not created necessarily for shoppers, it's created for people. And when people go there, they shop. It's a very, very people-friendly place. It's a pedestrian-friendly place. There's plenty to do. There's plenty to do when you're not shopping, you're not forced to shop. You know, we should learn from that. We should learn from that. We should make our spaces like that. And then we don't have to worry about people leaving because they're going to be there and they want to be there. The other place that's very successful in Laurel Bay recently is some of the stuff on the waterfront. It is a beautiful place to go. And you don't have to go there for the water. That's part of the environment. But they've made it complementing the environment. And they've made it a place where you just want to be. And when you're there, you're going to shop. You know? So what I'm doing is we do have a lot of beautiful environment here, but we have to complement it with how it will grow. You know? So it does come down to money. And there's an awful lot of potential buyers here, people who would love to just stay here and just enjoy this without taking an extra trip, putting an extra slot in the air, you know, taking that extra 20 minutes, and actually getting kind of tied up in the community in San Luis now that's becoming fairly congested. And we'd love to just stay here. Yeah.
I agree with a lot of what you say about the architectural space, inviting people to be somewhere. My wife and I got in the Bay Area this weekend, which we do fairly often. So we stay in San Francisco or we stay over in Berkeley, but in either case, we'll get up in the morning and we'll just stroll down the street to find somewhere for breakfast, because they're attractive places that kind of draw you in to sit, and then while you're out, we'll walk past a bookstore, stop and buy something, and then before you know it, you've left $100 up and down the street. Just because it was an attractive place to come into it. But if you woke up Saturday morning here and thought, oh, gee, I'll stroll over some cute little place for breakfast with Los Osos, where would you go? My house is kind of nice, but it's not a great ambiance to go sit there for a few times or so on.
It's pretty like San Francisco, you're not going to feel like strolling.
But I agree, those things that want to make you come in and stay are very much needed. I think Bob was first.
I have a couple comments and questions. One of the comments is, I'm not sure I understand exactly what you meant by the town won't survive without business, because the town has been surviving for quite a while. And I am, as everybody will tell you here, I have been one of the more vocal advocates for trying to get a better business base here. But after doing it for the last 15, 16 years here, you made the statement that you think the people of Los Osos want a better business community. I'm not sure about that anymore. I mean, I'm sure that many of the people that I see at every meeting I go to do, but that's only a small percentage of us, and I don't think the rest of the people care anymore. Now, let me finish some of the comments I have first, okay? I question tourism. I believe that we have some potential for that. Some of the examples that have been used, though, were not even close. Cambria wouldn't even exist if it didn't have the second largest attraction in the state of California, San Simeon Hearst Castle. It would exist, but it would not be a successful business community. Morro Bay, I used to know the manager of Morro Bay. He, or before he left or was asked to leave, whatever, he made the comment to me that Morro Bay would be absolutely marginal in its tax base if it wasn't for that power plant. And that tourism, it would be marginal as to whether or not tourism told us how much revenue we need from residential.
Yes.
And how much are we getting and how much are you guys spending? They don't want to tell us how much they're spending.
That's right.
And we have tried for the 6-7 years we've been in existence to get some of those answers. And we have not been able to get them. Now I have a question for Rosemary here. Jobs, housing balance concept, you know, that's kind of in right now? Is the economic committee?
That's that's something that the whole county has to look at, because that's when one of the things this county has never done is create an environment that's friendly to development, not rampant development, but just to build up our economy. We don't have an inventory of properties that are available. Our permitting process has been criticized as being very cumbersome. We don't have a contact person like that we can say, come into the county and show you a property in Los Osos and Morro Bay and Cambria and give you the options and the costs and the benefits. When we talk about, when you go and you look at and you look at the materials that are sent out about economic development, that's the one thing they talk about, is people coming in to create a new type of business that's going to employ people want to know where these people are going to live and how much it's going to cost. And they don't want to find out if they're going to work in Los Osos, that they're going to have to go buy a house in Paso Robles if they're going to be able to afford it. Now, these are all the things that are very critical. And looking, you know, everybody says, oh, let's create a software business. I heard a gentleman that's in the economic advising business that says every community in the United States wants to create a software business because it's non-polluting and it's environmentally friendly. You're not all going to be able to do it. But these things that they talked about in terms of creating an environment that is friendly to businesses, have a contact person that can answer questions, know the property, know the inventory, know what's available in terms of the housing and how much it's going to cost them. And these are all things that we don't do.
From a land use standpoint, I kind of question, especially with an existing land uses like we have now, the jobs housing balance, because let's take San Luis and Los Osos, two perfect examples. You know, we need more jobs, they need more housing. But in reality, and part of it is because of the very thing that has created many of our problems, the automobile, people live where they want to live, and then they go to work wherever they have to because the automobile lets them get there. And I wonder if, let's just say we put in a bunch of business parks, they put in a bunch of housing. I really believe that what would happen is we would be waving to the people from San Luis in the new housing coming out to work in Los Osos as we continue driving into San Luis. Because I know, like, I'll just be my own bad example here. I wouldn't live in San Luis if you paid me to. It's 12 miles too far from the ocean.
10 miles to get to work.
Right, but if we're trying to get fewer cars using Los Osos Valley Road, I have to question the car thing. I didn't used to, but I do now. I question if that's even a valid goal anymore, because it just, I mean, it's a valid goal, but I don't think it's a reality, because we just, people, and like I said, I'm one of the bad examples. I will live on the coast at the expense of working in there. I'm lucky enough I don't have to work in there, but most people aren't in that position.
So when you talk about getting out of your cars and you talk about walking around, I think one thing I would love to see out here is sidewalks. I would like to be able to walk around our business community without getting sand in my shoes. I mean, it sounds silly, but I think that would encourage more people to go from business to business. When we get into an environment where we don't have to deal with whether or not you're going to flush a toilet if you open a business, we're going to see that when it becomes easier to get around your own 2 feet, people like to walk in downtown San Luis now. And you park a car and you walk around downtown. You don't move it every 2 blocks just to go to a different store. And I think out here, one thing that really annoys me, Les and I sometimes walk up to get a video and over to and we're always walking either in the road with the traffic or in the sand because there aren't sidewalks. And it's not a pleasant place to walk, even though we'd like to.
You and Les have lived here long enough, though, that you no longer perceive a sidewalk as the threat of becoming another L.A. And it actually takes time for people to get over those perceptions, you know.
I guess I'm getting older and the fan part of
it. But boy, did you want to respond to any of Bob's earlier?
Not particularly.
Okay.
There is one thing that I think we need to look at, and that is as far as our remaining thing with the new kids, that is the problem of housing. You know probably how much difference there is in the cost of a house here in Los Osos and in San Luis Obispo. And it costs you a lot more to live there just based on your purchase price than it did here.
Paul, and then we'll let's go down there.
Whenever the subject comes up of expanding the retail business or expanding the job base, whether it's using this property out here, developing a business park, whether you're developing home businesses, you know, whatever it is, the word always comes up, attract. The question is, who's going to do the attraction? Is the downtown business group that is existing here in the community now going to do the attracting? As Lisa says, you know, they don't even get together about staying open one night a week, and probably won't. Who's going to do the attracting? Al Schweitzer, one of our members, who's one of the partners that owns this property here, says they've done surveys, and their surveys by companies that are supposedly in the business of doing just this, what is the potential for to absorb a business park? They say the potential's not here. So you get down, well, who's going to do the attracting? Well, normally it's done by the city of Morro Bay, the city of San Luis Obispo, the city of Santa Maria led their redevelopment of their downtown. That is the total extent of the job base provided by the county in this community. So we don't even get the county to attract themselves here. Now, when you go around with this, and we've been around this a few times in the last 5-6 years, you really keep coming back to the point, well, maybe what Bob is saying has some merit. But maybe this is destined to be a bedroom community, and maybe that's not all bad, particularly if you wrestle with this idea, are we going to become a city? And I have become convinced after a lot of study of it on the economic committee of this council, that we are not going to see cityhood in our lifetime.
Wait, what do you think? Are we going to attract all these businesses? Is the chamber going
to
do it?
The chamber will have to work at it. But the problem is that you face people who are discouraged because of what he said. It hasn't worked in the past. But I just don't think we can stop that. Stop there. I think we have to see what we can do from the present time and into the future. Because now we have possibility of having a sewer system for businesses. And they went to the residences. We have to have a possibility of having a sewer system for a business. And I think that will open up opportunities that we have not had before. Now, I'm pushing for our chamber to look at not 1997, not even 98, but be looking down at 2002. I won't be here, probably, but at least, but I want to work toward that. Okay.
Would you foresee the chamber actively going out and finding businesses that were looking to move and seeking to attract them here?
Sure. You betcha. Because why not? They usually bring in their own money. We did not pay for the land that those people bought on our. They bought that. They brought their money in. I think two of them gone broke. Two of them had lost their shirts. And now it's the third one. And that's a bad record for us. But you have to attract these people who will make the investment, like they made the investment. Okay? You have to find somebody who will make the investment in a business district. I can take you to Pleasanton, California, and you can see a beautiful place where they have a lot of trees. And you can hardly tell when you move out of a light industry area into a place where there's restaurants. Okay? So it can be done. But it can't be done if we say we're not capable of doing it. or we haven't been in the past. We've got to start from ground zero and move forward and push forward. And maybe we need new blood. And maybe other people, the people who've been trying it before are so discouraged that they need to turn it over to younger people. Not older people like me, but younger people that will push forward and get something done with it by doing all they possibly can.
Well, it's been a long discussion. I'm going to respond to Rose's question, I think it was, but have we talked about any of this stuff before? We have...
Kind of rhetorical.
We have taken under consideration a 50-acre business park out here with a 20-acre community park, coupled with a 200-plus room hotel conference center up on the hill. We have taken under consideration a number of different options in terms of the sewer, none of which, of course, that we have. Still a chapter to be written. My suspicion is that the retail sector here is not going to thrive until there is a job base. The bad news is that unlike Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Santa Maria, and almost any other community in the area, is that we are not on a major highway. That's also the good news. And in order to attract businesses here, there's a major shift in businesses that are looking for environment, that are looking for central place for their employees. I think it is potentially possible to attract someone into Los Osos who will do a very sophisticated business park, but it is a very sophisticated operation. It is not going to be done by locals. Sorry, this ain't going to happen. Somebody's got to come in here that really knows what they're doing, that has national prominence, that has a national marketing system, to get the word out to folks that there is a place here for them to have their company, that there is a very highly educated employee market right here in town that are looking for jobs that they'd rather not commute to San Luis. But I'll tell you, unless the entire business community, and in fact the entire community, is behind that kind of a thrust, it isn't going to happen. Somebody's got to come in. And the other opportunity that we have is there are 70 acres out here, right in the smack of downtown. I don't know any place in a community of 15,000 people that there is that kind of potential. There is wonderful potential. We've got a sewer that's going to produce 1.6 million gallons a day of water. That is the amount of water, that's 10 times the amount of water that runs Morro Bay Golf Course. You could run an 18 to 27 hole golf course up here using sewer effluent, not taking any water out of the aquifer, and you'd only use less than 20% of the capacity of that sewer plant. So there are lots of opportunities, but it's going to take very, very sophisticated marketing and planning and development to make it happen. And I don't see it happening, quite frankly.
I think a couple of comments. One is that we need to separate the need for control and the desire. We have a lot of opportunities there. We could put motel types of uses. We could put the business park kinds of uses. We could put commercial uses. We get told that the only kind of uses that are going to probably happen there based on their own projections are residential uses. So, you know, we're at loggerheads with the developer in that case. But if we hold firm, maybe we can get what we want. I think one of the things that we're going to have to also think about, though, is we will not have 100% unanimity, however you say that.
Agreement
on the issue of development of that site. Because the problem is that it is, while it's in the middle of town, it's also surrounded by development. And we have a situation where we're probably going to have a lot of objections to the kind of uses that we'd like to see on that property because there's people living around that property. So we may have to hold firm if we really want some sort of business park or commercial uses on that site, because there will probably be a lot of objections to it. And that's just the way the game is played. You know, we're going to have a problem with that. But if that's what we really want to see, and I have a feeling this is the last point I have, is that we need to remain optimistic. And I know Bob wouldn't be here if he wasn't, you know, still optimistic.
Charlie,
these things could happen, even though he's been working on it for 10 or 15 years. So, but the one thing I did want to find out before we finished tonight was Boyd had made a comment that he had some ideas for motel kinds of uses, and I wanted to know whether or not you were willing to tell us where you thought that they might be a place for that.
I'll tell you, and the response has always been, well, that's agricultural land that's out there across from the cemetery. Would make a wonderful area as far as, and I talked with one of the board members of the Humane Society, and their expectation at the present time is that they will utilize the back part of that, but he, speaking as a board member, would be willing for the front part to go into some other use. But I like the idea that somebody expressed the other day that higher up would be a golf course. That's a great idea. But I was just thinking in that area. But it always comes back. That's agricultural. Well, hey, I was raised in Montana. That was agricultural too, but it's changed a lot. So you just have to work with the county and try to get them to see some visions.
The one thing I've heard from you and from the board, we've heard and talked about on the board a long time, is that Los Osos has a strong sense of community. There are people who will live here no matter what. But what we don't hear a lot about is a lot of unity. We do have a sense of community, but we don't have a sense of economic unity. And I hear that from you people also, that there's not a lot of economic unity. I think what Gary was saying was very important, that unless Los Osos identifies itself as an economic community, whether it is only an art community or a tourist destination.
Good, we will. Told me, well, but you're only here 1 year, and that's true. But I hope you know that we now have a executive director on the base for 20 hours a week, volunteers from this time. But as a volunteer that I've been for the last 2 years, the people who come into that office fall in love with our area, and they want to come here. They want to stay here when they come here. And at the present time, we have to tell them, well, the bed and breakfast is full. They're full out seat binds. They're full down at the Baywood. So they have to go, and they have to go back someplace else. But they would prefer to stay here if we had the facilities for them. So contrary to what I think I've been hearing tonight, this is a tourist area. I mean, people love to come here. You can't be at that office and not hear people saying this every day that you're there. They just love to be here. They love to be able to stay here when they are in the area.
Quinn?
Mr. Lowe, I believe his name is here.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there are those of us that have been here, someone who's on the board, long enough to know past history. And I know you cannot go back, but I think one of the things that is very sad, and I was very unhappy with, I did everything within my power to fight it, was the development as it now exists of Williams Brothers. When that development was first proposed, the architectural renderings were lovely, beautiful. You would have been proud of them. The whole business community would have been proud of me. But unfortunately, the county thwarted us. Not only did the county, but the developer thwarted us, meaning the community, and went in there after the plans had all been approved by local people and and then went in and built what they wanted to build. So therefore, whatever we try to do, and including this board, although it's much stronger now than it was in those days, to develop and get the county to stand by what the board has approved, that is a problem too, and you have to take that into consideration no matter what you decide to do.
Yeah. You know, and I realize that, and I have to say, I've only known Glenn for 7 years. And when I first met him, I thought that I've never met anyone in political office who was as anti-business as Glenn was. But I think he's come along. There's been a lot of change in his attitude, I think, in the last year as far as businesses and Los Osos concerned. So I've come to appreciate him and feel that he would work with us in doing whatever we possibly could to attract businesses to this area. That's my gut level feeling, is that we are in a much better position than we were 4 years ago, even. Okay? So,
this here in Los Osos, and yes, we're still in business, and we're still paying our house payment. And he mentioned if we can focus on the dreams of the future versus the disgruntlement that we have with the past. And I do. I hear a lot of negativity in this group, and I understandably know why. People like you have been trying to get things for 7 and 8 years, and nothing, you know, has happened. But what amazes me, and I just want to tell you our story, is we moved here 2 years ago, in June, it'll be 2 years ago, from Flagstaff, Arizona. And speaking of the positive of our future here, what we do have is we have San Luis Obispo less than 15 miles away from us. And when my husband and I decided to move our family here, we had never, ever even heard of Los Osos. But we knew about the Central Coast of California. We knew about the green, the beauty, the people. And immediately we looked at, quote, San Luis Obispo. But when we pulled out our map, we started noticing all these other little areas around the area, and then all of a sudden it's like, huh, I wonder what this Los Osos thing is. So we subscribed to the newspaper for like 6 months before we moved. We wrote to the different chambers, and because of the beauty here, the pictures, we didn't know a soul. We had never ever even met anybody that lived here, and the cost of housing, because it was the least expensive of all the areas to live in, that's what attracted us here. And one thing that I've neglected to hear out of this group is that people are so focused on the past, but the past was yesterday. Being in the computer industry, I have vision for the internet and the World Wide Web. And our business is successful. I don't have to leave Los Osos. I try to buy in here when I can. But my clients are in San Diego, my clients are in Oregon, my clients are in San Luis, but I don't even have to get out of my car and go drive there. And I notice Los Osos isn't technically oriented only because they don't know. They have been a bedroom community for so long. But there are so many people that would want to come here to open a business just because of the beauty, that they can have their client base elsewhere just because of computer technology. And a lot of people on this group don't realize that just because they're unfamiliar with technology. But San Luis Obispo is what attracted us, at least to look at this part of California. But all the neat things about Los Osos is what attracted us here. We didn't have to have the booming business right here. So we're different than retailers. And so when you think of your vision, we're talking business parks of people with technology that can have clients in Japan or Australia and be a clean industry. And it's just a positive thing that I see of the future of Los Osos, that you might attract technology, computer-type people who want to come here for the very reason that we did, that we're not bombarded with smog and population and abundance of traffic jams.
Where's your business located? Is it a home business?
We're a home business.
I think the lady brought up a very important point.
point, one that goes hand in hand with business attractive, to especially the businesses of the future, the ones that are not site dependent, the ones that will be involved in communication worldwide, and we have an opportunity to provide that kind of community. In the late 1970s, those of us who were involved in the first effort to form a community service district took advantage of a study that a young student made who used to live here. The study came out of UCLA, and it looked at our community, and it also looked at a number of others that faced the difficulty of being too close to proximity to a larger city, namely San Luis Obispo. And they use a number of other examples. And they said that it would be very difficult for a community of ours to develop a commercial base for incorporation. And keep in mind that it was 20-some years ago. Because of our close proximity, if we were at least 25 miles or more, and that was the magic number then, I don't know if it still is, then we would have a chance to develop a viable commercial base that would support incorporation. But that's kind of out of the question. We can't ask San Luis Obispo to move, and we can't move, and we don't want to. But there are other things, other options that we do have. And a couple of key things, Les made it, also Lisa, destination. Because of our outstanding environment here and situation geographically, a geographic situation within the state, we have an opportunity to develop more of a destination for tourism or for the kind of attractive kind of businesses that she is in. And we wrestled with that early on in developing our vision statement, and when we went through the community questionnaire process and community neighborhood meetings, trying to get one-on-one input from the residents here on the future and what they envision, a lot of people said, let's not destroy the natural environment, but let's maybe create a destination for kind of businesses and residential support. There were a lot of exciting examples. Carmel, for instance, doesn't have the kind of power plant or large box stores or that sort of thing. They have created a destination where people will go there just to go to Carmel and appreciate the opportunities there. And as Randy mentioned, the neighborhoods up in Berkeley and in some places in Oakland and San Francisco, they have a destination that attracts you to go there. I think this is what we need to look at in the future, because incorporation is not in the books, but community services district would be a good step in terms of taking over our own local control of services and all. But I think destination is probably one of the key words.
I have a problem. They are leaving. They are going who knows where, but not here.
If the opportunity were here, would they stay?
I believe they would. I believe
we have lost some key businesses that we would like to shift because they did not have the option of staying here.
That's right. And as a home business who is looking to expand and who knows, build a research and development facility. I am looking forward to working with the community in doing that. But in doing that, it's a reciprocal thing. It's a two-way street. There has to be respect on both sides.
Real quick on something you just said about the kids. I agree with that. But, you know, I think lots of times we tend to put our own values on our children. And I think most of us grew up in a time when, and in a place, and then we moved here and we thought, wow, this is great. My 23-year-old daughter was born and raised here. She can hardly wait to get out of here.
Absolutely.
She wants the city, you know. And my 19-year-old daughter is living in San Francisco right now. She loves it. And I'm going, are you nuts? You know, and so there's a different, you know, and maybe it's just cyclical. Every other generation just, that's the way we end up being. I'm not sure.
You get smarter and you get older, though.
I agree with what you were saying, although I think what you were hearing is frustration. And it's frustration that we have been repeating our mistakes. I really hope that you can accomplish what you...
I agree.
Basically looking to the future with the chamber. That is something the chamber has historically never had any success with. And we have had in the last 15 years maybe 4 chamber presidents that was their focus. The problem is, and I don't know how you solve that. How do you get people or businesses that are trying to survive just day to day to think about 4 or 5 years down the road? Now, one of the things I've seen in this community, and it's understandable because people are generally trying to get away from whatever it is we try to get away from. I see a lot of businesses that go out of business in the chamber, mainly because the people who opened the businesses were not ready to have their own business. I know, and I have friends who, they were employees for many years of their life, and they thought, my God, the owner gets it all. And they came up here and they go, whoa, that's what I want. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to make all the money. I'm going to do all this stuff. They get here. They go, my God, I'm working 75 hours a week. I have no benefits. I'm not making any money. And nobody's coming in. And they get frustrated. And I think the chamber needs to not only try to attract businesses, but they also need to let people know that, I mean, every weekend is some, I mean, they even have rodeo week in Pismo. They haven't had a horse on the beach in Pismo. Or anything to get somebody there.
The same reason that you love it here and I love it here is the reason that other people love it here and will stay here and their business is going to stay out. I mean, how many businesses can we count since we've been participating in this group that have left Los Osos because they couldn't find space to do it? There was no property to build on, there was no building to rent.
Quick question. If we're talking about a build-out around 30,000 people, and as far as I can tell, we have about 120 acres of light industrial and commercial, and it's a mix of all the town, big within here, that doesn't leave us a whole lot of expansion as far as zoning. Or are my numbers in there?
When we looked at that 2 or 3 years ago, kind of counted up all the land that's currently zoned business one way or the other, you know, commercial, office, professional, retail, whatever, and looked at how much of that is actually presently occupied and utilized. It appeared to be about half of it was
60
more or less utilized, that you can probably more or less double kind of the current types of businesses. But that means if the population doubles and you double the current types of businesses, you really have made no headway in terms of providing. Yeah,
you've replicated the problems that you already have if you continue down the same path. That's what the whole idea of the vision statement is. We need to change course.
Well, it's 9 o'clock. Anybody got any last words of wisdom? We need to kind of wrap this up fairly soon. We can talk all night. Paul?
Randy, I'd like to correct something I said earlier. It's important to be correct. It's important to be politically correct. And I said the county has an employer here, and I mentioned 3 locations, and I forgot one very important one. I want to correct that, and that's the library. It is a very important facility that you have here. The word destination as a destination for whatever here, one of the things on LOCAC that we try to keep up front and center ahead of us is that if the State Parks Department has their announced plans and they have their way with the announced plans, we may be trying to figure out how to handle the growth rather than the other way around. And I think we have to keep that, and we do keep that in mind here, that is a double-edged sword for sure.
and it might make us a destination very quickly.
Well, I'd like to go back a little bit to what Donnie said, kind of sum up what my impression is of where we are here. We talked about unity. If you're going to have a dream, you're going to go forward, you got to be somewhat unified, especially in our situation where we don't have a centralized body that has, you know, ultimate control over things. We have to provide not only the impetus, but we have to provide the organization, and we have to come up with the money. You know, for most sense. And in order to do that, your organization and the business community needs to work with the people who are interested in planning and land use, and we can work together. And believe it or not, as many contrary ideas that we seem to have tonight, we are really just kind of pitching back and forth with money and grants and so on. Now don't undermine us. Don't cut it off in letters, you know? Because I don't know her name back behind the bill there, but that's, you know, sometimes what we send to the county and what we get are two very different things. And we're going to create the kind of community that we want. We have to be together, and we have to stay together. But when we, you know, bicker and you know, I don't agree with this because of this, and then, you know, so on, we're much less likely to get the kind of community business oriented so much. Because we have some very nice plans for Maywood, the business district downtown, along Osage Valley Road, and for the light industry park out here too. But we need you people behind us as well.
Okay, and we need you behind that. Because we agree. I know, I told you in the beginning, my focus is on business. I do have feelings for people who are in very central areas. So don't take that, because I state my case for the business area because I have a passion for that. But I do have an understanding and appreciation for what residential people are going through too, and their feelings, because they just like to see us, see our community. Many of them, let me say it that way, would just like to see our area stay the way it is without bringing any commercial or business area. But my passion, my background is for the business area, so you'll have to forgive me if I just kind of push that.
Well, there are people who are complaining an awful lot right now about the infrastructure in this town, which obviously, you know, is deteriorating rapidly. And then, of course, we're trying to pull other money from the sewer and so on. Those people, I think, will realize that without the tax base, we will continue to deteriorate to the point where this is not the same quality community we once had. And that's another thing that business needs to be here for.
Brian Preston. The idea of unity and the idea of an economic identity, I think, are sort of steps forward. I think, though, that these cameras and the idea of public access is very important because of a kind of public awareness. And really an awareness of the people out there, of all of you that have invested in over the years, and of the difference of opinions and concerns and viewpoints that you have. I think they'll feel more like a community that has more in common, they have more at stake to come to good places within the community and more faith in its development potential. And the fact that that's going somewhere positive if they have a better awareness about what's been going on. Most of the people that I've talked to, that I refer to, LOCAC and what it's been dealing with, tell me about all they've read in the newspaper for 20 years, and they don't come and fill these seats. They're interested, but they're busy. They're interested enough to...
committee and things like that, so that we can keep this dialogue going. This has been a great discussion. As you know, we weren't trying to solve the world's problems tonight, at least just talk about the world's problems, and I think that we did that well. As you can see, though, the audience was not exactly overwhelming, and so I think Brian's comments about the public TV might actually be useful. It's not for lack of trying. I notified all the papers, one finally managed to print one small notice yesterday, the day before the meeting. The other two did not print it. And I sent faxes to everybody I could think of, and so on. And it's just very difficult to get people out for something like this. But maybe if there was public access, it would make people more aware, and we could at least get our agenda on the public access and things like that, and we might get better turnout. So that's a thought. But yeah, thank all of you for coming. Let's give them a hand. So we will let our panelists sneak out, and then we'll continue, unless they want to stay for the rest of the meeting. Chuck was sitting on this easel back there, talk a little bit about just a short, very short presentation on some design issues, and then we'll have elections, and hopefully we'll be out here Friday. We'll be doing it. Dawn, did you put out these flyers?
Yes, I did put them out at the corner.
Okay, for the public, there's a little flyer from the Foundation for Community Design that talks about what they've been doing, so they're back in the back here, and you might pick one of those up as you leave.
Up zoning to enable some opportunities to occur here. So what we thought of was perhaps in sort of increasing the commercial area up and then providing for a pedestrian accessway through a commercial area. So what you see on here is sort of a plaza feature with a central focal point with stores on either side. And this could be an interesting area for mixed-use development as well. So there'd be quite a lot of activity area occurring here. Another goal was to provide a gathering place, a place where people could come into this area and feel this is a part of their downtown. There would be an open park area down here with a fountain as a focal point. And then the issue, of course, came up of how to deal with the parking. And there are some solutions here that we're suggesting to resolve some of the parking problems. And I won't go into too much detail about that. But a couple of key features is that where Farrell came into 9th Street was a problem for us from a design standpoint. So we perhaps are suggesting that be realigned. You'll notice where we have, say, New Street up here, where Farrell, the residential neighborhood, would gain access to this connection up here now. And that would create a little more separation from the commercial area. So it wouldn't conflict so much with the residential. And then Farrell would come down and then loop through down below where it says street realignment on your plan. And it would merge into a parking area. And the idea here was to create an area where, with kiosks or small sort of outdoor store areas, this might be an opportunity for local vendors, artisans, craftsmen to sell items through here in a pedestrian sort of avenue. And that would also serve to connect, like what we're trying to connect down to the store area. And this concept in here is really a future concept. One of Brian's classes last year came up with an idea that would really provide a lot more smaller shops and an outdoor activity areas. But the focal point of this plan is really from the park through and over to the shopping center. That's a thumbnail sketch of the project. And what we're hoping to get is input from your committee, perhaps some thoughts on that tonight, maybe some obstacles you may see or ideas you may have. And then we're going to also, like I mentioned, meet with the property owners in a couple of weeks.
Business property owners are all?
All. We sent notices out to everyone on Bush and Farrell all the way to the end.
How many residences would get removed to do this?
Well, that, I believe there was only two or three in this area here. Part of the initial study was to go out and do an inventory, really look at the buildings. And we did a photo inventory, the students did a photo inventory of this whole area, and we really looked at buildings and tried to determine what sort of useful life these buildings may have remaining. And I think we ended up looking at just a few in this area here that would need to be removed. But the incentive would be there because the commercial project could be upzoned to make the incentive.
An additional comment also, in terms of access, the traffic circulation plan, I'm sure you know, calls for Napomo.
Right.
Eventually crossed just above the top of your drawing.
Right here, yes.
There, which will also provide another access.
That's right. That was part of our initial study, was to consider and show on this plan that through, but we thought that they were just dissimilar enough issues that it was kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm. Seems like one of the circulation solutions might be, because I can see some problem with having, I can see why they put the new street where you have it, moved it up a little bit. Maybe that's a good idea. In fact, it's probably a good idea in terms of giving access to the residential part of this neighborhood. But it seems like then the commercial uses are going to be hurt by that because it's going to be further from the access. Those people that have to come down or would have to go around and make the loop if they're not coming off of Los Sisas Valley Road, for instance, if you're coming from the other neighborhoods. And I was thinking, instead of coming through there, maybe what could be done would be to almost isolate that street at that point, make a cul-de-sac and have a road come in actually off of 9th Street where you have a street realignment.
Yes.
Look into the possibility of having that since it's almost a parking area anyway. But then what I was thinking is that you could isolate that area that they now show as commercial from the residential area by having the street come through to 9th Street. In other words, where it says street realignment, come straight through since it's almost just a driveway anyway, and have it come on 9th Street. But basically come across here this way. And then this could almost be cul-de-sac at this point, where you don't have access coming straight through from the residential neighborhood, but more of the commercial coming through the residential area. Just a thought, anyway.
Gary?
I'm sure you have another thought. I'm just sitting here looking at it. It'd be kind of interesting to take a look at taking your street realignment and the commercial center and flipping them. So that the street alignment and parking is inside commercial out toward the existing commercial.
Yeah.
And then you could take advantage, you just took this pod and flipped it. Okay. And then you could take that road straight through here instead of there, and you'd gain all the access of this space to the commercial zone, and I think make that a much more useful area.
You're not separated by which park.
Yeah.
That might even be better. You're separating the uses by the street.
Yeah.
Right. Then you could make the access onto 9th Street. Instead of the new street up there, you like almost the same access straight onto 9th Street and back over to Bush. So you wouldn't even have to create a new street. You wouldn't have the jags. You'd have more of a straight access into this development area. Also, the pedestrian path, is that also indicated as a bicycle path? Or is it strictly pedestrian?
It would be both. It's a multi-use path, bike and pedestrian.
So you would have bikers bisecting the development area? Well, I can't tell by scale if that was the concept or...
That was the concept.
Pedestrians in development areas don't like bicyclists coming through necessarily.
Like
I don't know.
Class one.
Well, it's
15 feet.
Right, it would be probably at least 10, 15 feet wide. And it was just intended as a multi-use pathway.
Don't miss a good point, though. If pedestrians are kind of walking back and forth from the store, they're going to be running down by bicycles.
But also, bicyclists want that access. Also, that's really important.
You could have signs up that make people walk their bikes through that one over there.
You know how much you
okay.
Brian?
And skateboarders, too. Not in Boston.
The exercise, and I think the concept that you see there, is very open to different ideas and different interpretations of what kind of businesses might go there, what might go at upper levels, and what kind of interaction would you have between that and the open space that's been utilized? Most of it hasn't really been created, but it's simply been sort of reinvented. And so that, another point is the street wire. And I think all the ideas you might think about how to use that space, the point of it is, it makes things smaller.
But it may be a good spot, I think, for kind of a restaurant. Coffee shop and so on, about the things that you were talking about earlier, architectural space that wants to, makes you want to come into it.
Even in the actual Sweet Springs, you know, should be concerned about existing, you know, tenants there and so forth. I think it would be pretty easy to imagine that they might have a pub, facing one way, and they might have, ice cream and coffee and other things facing another way. But the idea that the number of businesses could serve different different clientele at different times of the day and evening.
Since this would involve some actual redevelopment as opposed to simply, you know, zoning vacant land like we have here, what kind of redevelopment rights might the community be eligible for to help implement something like this?
Well, we didn't envision redevelopment. We tried to keep this all free market, the idea of just encouraging investment through upzoning opportunities and then providing a vision and providing a list of uses and some encouragement through, you know, just imagining this, to me, got me really excited about the kinds of nightlife activity that could occur here. And I think through providing that kind of vision, property owners might be encouraged to pursue something like this.
Would redevelopment be out of the question then, or is it
I wouldn't hold a great deal of hope for redevelopment. It's not blighted. It really needs just to be designed well, I think, and thought through and zoned accordingly. Would be probably the best step.
Are you saying that if that could be part, it'd be too small to be a redevelopment area by itself. Are you saying we wouldn't be able to, or you don't think we would justify a redevelopment area that would encompass not just that area, because I can see that as being potential for that, but also some of the area to the east of that site. Yeah, over into that area.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the assumption is that the economic viability of the area at some point is going to blossom, and this is a vision for that time and place when that occurs, and then there's going to be a demand for certain types of structures and buildings and so forth.
Essentially, that's what I saw. But I don't know, Don, if there would be much basis for or how successful a redevelopment request would be. Kind of doubt it.
If this is up some to commercial retail, and the current property owners are just perfectly happy to have a house sitting there, does it put any particular pressure on them to change it from residential, or could they continue residential as long as they wanted to?
Well, they can continue as long as they wanted to. When in an upzone situation, you create a non-conforming use, and non-conforming uses can continue indefinitely. And that's part, I'm sure we're going to hear. It's an interesting area. It's unfortunate, frankly, that it's here. It really protrudes right into the heart of your commercial area.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way, this sort of idea is a way to sort of reclaim some of your central business district. Bob?
You know, when we were doing the neighborhood meeting, I did Baywood, and I did that one, and I went to the others. By far, that neighborhood had the best sense of neighborhood of any. We had 53 people show up in that area, in that neighborhood, and we had 60-something for all of Baywood, and Baywood went all the way out to 17th, or to South Lake Boulevard. But on the other side of it, those people also were the ones who were probably the least protective of what they already had. I mean, they were the most enthusiastic group that were going, yeah, we ought to try some, and we discussed sometime a connection or possibly that being redeveloped at some time, you know, and they didn't boo-hoo it or anything. I wouldn't say they said, yeah, because we didn't discuss it enough, but they definitely were open to it. And I found out they have barbecues there once every couple months where they'll get 50, 60 neighbors out. And I don't know any neighbor that does that around here. And I was surprised. I even thought, like you, well, they probably won't show up and stuff. And so it was pretty neat. I learned a lot from that. Yeah.
Well, part of this plan
I didn't mention it, and you can barely see it, but there's a right between the commercial area and the residential, which you'll, I don't know if you can notice that there's a little pathway. And that was an attempt to, again, protect the neighborhood from the commercial and provide a buffer, a pedestrian buffer. And that could be accomplished with what Gary was suggesting, too, with flipping. So I kind of like that idea.
And if we create the back bike path,
we can do the same thing. So, but my point is that I was really trying to find a way to protect this neighborhood and not direct the commercial activity through it or encourage traffic through it, but to try to keep it down to this area.
Chuck, on the pedestrian crosswalk where they do cross the streets, did they envision there a raised walk made of a different material?
Some type of different material. Yeah. It might be elevated to,
alert the automobile that, hey, slow down this pedestrian area.
Right.
And it would serve as a kind of a speed bump as well as very clearly identified pedestrian walkway.
Well, and another idea, too, was to in terms of the parking, mm-hmm. there's a little diagonal parking area on 9th Street near the fountain, just next to the fountain, if you notice that. Again, we're trying to slow traffic down through this area to create a parking lot feel. So from this pedestrian access down to LOBR would be slowed down. And the idea was on this was to simply continue that class one up into this theater. Now, the option, I understand the potential for conflict here, but the option here is that they could come down to here or continue on. There's several different options through that area.
Yeah. To go off a little way is fine, but if it goes up too far, then you're starting to, they're going to want to keep on the road, and it's such a confusing circulation aspect if it's too far on the road.
Also, there's too many sharp turns.
That's right, yeah. Some people are, people are taking their bikes and may not be going there. For me, just wanting to get some place to have a rational system.
Right. I think what we're thinking, too, is that we really want this to serve as a destination, a place to come to, so and make it accessible to bicycle. So it becomes a destination. Two other points I didn't mention is that there's a lot of use of the park by the school, and so we wanted to provide distinct crossing areas from the school over to the park.
That's
and slow traffic down, so we provided two locations there.
That is excellent.
The library too,
right? Yeah, in fact, we're doing the accident studies. One of the places that has the highest number of accidents is right there. Oh gosh, what's the street?
Palisades,
Boston Drive Road.
Yeah.
As the highest effect there, I don't know if you know, but the county is taping what little impact money we have right now to build a turn lane there.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily fit in with what you have designed here. And I was explaining to Richard that we don't necessarily want a way to cut to go faster. We want a way to slow them down before
right.
we get there. So it doesn't really
our happen. Goal was to slow them down from Bayview Heights Drive, or 9th Street, all the way through to here. Slow this down into this section. And actually, in the circulation plan, this shows a median strip. For some distance down here, we're short on this, but it actually shows in the circulation.
Yeah, that's
another possibility.
There needs to be some narrowing there to be consistent with the other.
I like the idea of you wanting to provide crosswalks in that area, but I would say also that's a very darkened area under there because of the trees and the lighting. And kids scurrying across and having to stop twice might not be the best idea. And the kids already cross up there at the corner, isn't it at the corner there, or Bush?
Bush, yeah.
Right across there. I would say, and you've already got people stopping coming into the park area, I would say that might not be realistic. I like the idea of slowing people down through there because kids do scurry across without even a crosswalk. But the two crosswalks plus them crossing at school opening and closing times, plus the stoplight, and in that darkened area under the trees, it might not be the best and safest thing.
One of the things, too, Chuck, is right behind the restaurant there, the Chinese food restaurant and burger place, there's a gate access that's sort of a main way to get into that school site. And that's how they get out to Bush, and then they are crossing.
Right.
So this might be
the conscience they wanted to build stuff out. And so they either have to be very well marked and lighted.
I think we had in mind that there would be some light in there, too.
Yes.
So then,
but especially
so we would eliminate probably one or both of these, or
wherever that gate is, probably
one. Yeah,
probably
one
here.
Yeah. Yeah. I would rather see very distinct ones at either end, and rather discourage kids crossing in between.
They've already developed a pattern.
Yeah.
If we don't work it, you have to come from measures, though, in the bulb outs or whatever.
Yeah, I like the
measure. Doc, I noticed that your team up on Los Olivos where it dead ends there.
Yes.
And you walk down the hardware store.
Right.
That you've got a future restaurant there, and I wondered if that was a reflection of the committee's team's conclusion that Randy wasn't going to buy any more $120 buses.
I thought that this would be timely. Well, again, it was an idea that there could be some interesting outdoor, restaurant plus outdoor space that could connect down into here.
And the Chinese tells you that could be a drive-thru.
We'll call it Mike Boston.
They'll give us a random discount. They hear this on TV.
Any other comments?
One other thing on the left-hand side of your drawing is the potential, if we ever do it, the government site, unless we move it to some other location within the community, if we're ever going to have a government site. Mm-hmm. And so it would be nice if someday someone looked at this connection, because you've done the area to the right, and if you do the area to the left, or the west area here, and then the connection with that, but it seems like what you've got is just, it's a natural to flow into that that property there. And
that'll be another team at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Brian, next year.
You know, I can't resist. I must say that we already did that, but we didn't do it in this kind of detail. If you recall, the team of 13 of us back on the Purdue students won an international competition versus one of the communities. And there were nine winners internationally in different categories, and ours was really based upon making or promoting proposals that Los Olivos would become a more sustainable, more balanced community and so forth. And so our use of Schweitzer's and company and land was really to try to develop industrial and education and housing and a number of things along with the government. And part of the Spot Club was to develop the library as a communication center that industry and citizens and so forth would use. So putting the government there was very important.
We'll bring it back.
There are always more students. And really, there is a real interest in being able to support you and being able to tie into individuals, Bob and others, consistently.
The nominating committee was, Gary and Bob. And you all have the recommendations that we made. Ray Johnson, Christopher Chair, Ray Reckon, Vice Chair, Jeff Brody, Secretary, and Bob Martin, the Premier. By submitting our report, automatically places those names in nomination. But it also requiring the bylaws that we open to the floor for if there are any other nominations. So let me open it at this time. If there are any other nominations for officers. Hearing none, I will close it. I did also discover that just having to go through the bylaws that we are required to hold our election by secret ballot, which I don't think we did in the last couple of years. So I actually prepared some ballots here.
Okay.
All right. We're going to make the rules out.
How many ballots did we take?
For early vote often.
It's just got to be quite a little
So, Bob, would you collect and count these?
Yes.
While we're waiting for that, I will note that the only announcement that I have this month is that, as you probably know from Sun Bulletin yesterday, the Pratt project, which was to be at the Planning Commission on the 13th, and then was changed to the day, and then been changed, this time to April 24th. The previous delay from the 13th to the day was at staff request, that they were just running behind and getting staff report done. The request to change it again was the applicant's request. After they viewed the staff report, and apparently they were not happy with what they saw, the staff report recommends denial of the project. It'd be redesigned along the lines of our recommendations, some details, but largely agreed with our basic thrust of our recommendations. And so staff recommendation was that it be denied, resubmitted after design and major design changes, and so the applicant was not happy with that and asked for the delay.
I'm sorry, what was
the Pratt project.
Okay.
So that's my one announcement. We have a report from the Ballot County Committee.
Yeah, we have consensus.
All right, thank you. Congratulations to all the officers. I had a lengthy farewell speech, but
I'll put you on LinkedIn.
I will just send it to us. Okay, I'll fax it.
How about if we leave and then you can
send it? But I won't miss it. It's time to go do something else. And I wish my successor the best of luck.
We appreciate your guest.
Very positive. Anybody else have any announcements before we adjourn?
Randy, I would like to add, I don't know what anybody else did, but that would really mean to say that we had a further discussion and review of what happened to the subdivision at our meeting, and then after that, there was unanimous vote to reinforce exactly the same decision we made before and attached the previous letter. I was not at the board supervisor meeting, but I did see your letter that you gave to them. It seemed to me that it went quite a ways afield and really did not reflect the discussion that I heard here, at the council meeting. And so I only bring this up to see that we, in the future, see that any communication to the board supervisors reflect the actual resolutions or motions that took place here at the council.
And it was still focused, as I recall, on the area and not specifically on the subdivision applicant's request. It was basically dealing with the lot size of the lot area, holding out for the option of 2 acres, and that's what the applicant
said. And after much discussion with the planning department, we disagreed with the planning department's position and felt that their position should be overruled. In fact, I remember also disagreeing with the Office of General Counsel.
Mike Graves, who was here at that meeting, said that even though they cannot deal with the any other option besides 1 or 2.5, they couldn't deal with 2, he said that would certainly be appropriate to bring up as part of our general plan update, that we could say this is, we think it's an appropriate parcel size for that area.
I was under the impression that we were trying to be very specific with that property. Maybe a recommendation. We wanted the general, we thought that one piece of property was stood out as being larger than the surrounding property.
Our original meeting on this, we specifically did not make a recommendation on Mr. Schoenfeld's specific request, but we tried to make a general recommendation for the area. And since I was not here when it was
met again, but it, as you mentioned, the message that was conveyed to me, which seems to be now reinforcing, was to reiterate our previous position.
Reinforce your position.
That's what I think we did.
We did discuss the potential for precedent.
When you're through with that, I have just one last announcement.
Okay. Anybody else comment about?
Oh, not on that.
Okay.
I forgot to mention a little earlier. We're sponsoring a training session that's open to the public, and it's on Friday, April 11th at 9 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors Chambers. It's particularly on point for Las Osas. This individual's name is Phoebe Wall Wilson. She's an architect and an urban designer, and she has a consulting firm in Pasadena. She was responsible for drafting an ordinance for the city of Pasadena. I visit out here and take a look at it and sort of tailor her comments to solutions she thinks might work here. So I suggested this community and another one in the Pomo, too. For
what time?
Wednesday. This will be 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Friday, April 11th.
And where again, Chuck?
In the County Board of Supervisors Chambers. What I've done is extended the invitation to the design community, architects, builders, developers, our staff, city staff, and advisory committees. So you'll be getting a notice in the mail. I'll send it to Randy, and you'll get the formal notice. But that's the kind of deal.
Mariel.
Thanks.
Randy, one more. I don't know if it's always the protocol, but I'd like to see the board send out letters to the economic panelists this evening and sending a general round report to their efforts in terms of
the chairman's list.
Yeah, something like that. You know, thanking them and encouraging their efforts towards looking at Las Osas.
Yeah, keeping communication open.
Pardon?
And keeping communication
yes.
open.
Yes.
The council and the chamber.
Yeah, I'd like to see letters sent to these individuals to be distributed to their appropriate boards. Okay. Does that make sense? Just a consensus?
Bob, before we adjourn, I have to ask the new chair person. Are we still going to do the setback discussion?
Sure.
Okay, because then I have a homework for everybody to take home. So.
Okay.
I will get it. You can pick them up. However you want. Anybody else? Got an announcement. Last chance, going once, going twice, then we're adjourned.